Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting killer. News the networks refuse to use radio at your fingertips, not because of me, but because of the incredible lineup of hard-hitting, incredible guests on your radio. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. This is the broadcast for April the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is indeed hour two of two, and the goal always to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution, unless it's a Jesus revolution, and we promote restoration, peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me both hours. We had Weston Martinez on last hour, and he's been doing great work as a politician, a pastor, and a whole lot more. He says he's been getting a whole lot more done as a pastor than anything in politics, and amen to that. WestonForTexas.com is one of his websites. And we are talking about request a pillar nation deployment. Do you know what a pillar nation is, ladies and gentlemen? The idea is God gives us a pillar of fire to follow, and it's time for our generation to double down and take back the narrative, take back everything under God. PillarNation.com, and it's patterned after the Azusa Street Revival. It's patterned after this idea that we can stake out territories and take back our nation from Satan and return it to the founding father agenda of God, family, and country. So with Dr. Scott Bradley and I, our guest now, Mark Finchem, ladies and gentlemen, Arizona State Representative. He ran for Arizona Secretary of State, and now he's working on an incredible election integrity project. Go, EFI.org is the website for that. Mark, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I'm actually still running for Secretary of State because we haven't finished the litigation yet.
Oh, yeah, because they committed fraud, you mean, and so it's always an open case till we stop the fraud, you mean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Dr. Bradley, what do you say to that? You know what, we're still running months and months after the election because of fraud. He's still running and can't get it resolved, sir.
You know, I don't know. Maybe Mark can explain it to me, and maybe we don't want to take too much time on this show, but what the heck is going on with Arizona? I mean, I look back. I mean, here this is, you know, I mean, it was supposed to be one of these independent-minded kind of states, freedom-loving, you know, settled by hardy pioneers and all that kind of stuff. And we've gotten into it, I mean, since at least the 1980s. I mean, I hearken back to Ev Meekham and what happened to him, for crying out loud. I mean, I think about Isaiah 29, where the time is that they make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare and turn a just thing for a thing of naught. I mean, I just wonder what in the world is going on in Arizona. I can't understand it. I mean, it's supposed to be this, you know, upstanding state, and they're a disaster, in my opinion, from looking at it from an outside. What's going on, Mark?
Well, it's really hard for me to understand, too. I've dedicated my life to holding people accountable to just follow the law, because at the end of the day, the law is there. The legislature puts laws in place to level the playing field so that everybody understands the rules of society. And I'm going to take a little bit of liberty with scripture, but we all know that it is the love of money, and I would say power as well, but it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And we have for decades been infiltrated by cartel money, most recently the Sinaloa cartel once the Medellin cartel went down. But we now have pervasive infiltration of big money. I'm talking about billions of dollars just in Arizona to buy off elected officials, to buy off bureaucracy, to buy off judges. I'm stunned to see the level of corruption that we are facing in a state that, like you, I thought that we were America's lifeboat. But there is such a visceral hatred of the mission of God's people. And I believe this is satanic. We are fighting a cult. We are fighting the cult that is based in the love of money and perversion. And over the decades, individuals have been placed in strategic offices, and I'm talking about county supervisors, county recorders, elections officials. I mean, George Soros and that crew, he's everybody's favorite bad guy. But I'm telling you that there are many more bad guys than just George Soros. Now, they may be working together, but we are now facing the New World Order. And I hearken back to 10 years ago, I was told, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, now the New World Order is saying, no, it wasn't. We fooled you. We're real. We're going to tell you how to live because we know better. And, you know, Klaus Schwab said that soon you will own nothing, but you'll be happy. Well, their objective right now is, and I cannot help but contemplate that we are in the end times, because we are seeing the tearing down of nations and the formation of a one world government with no nation states, no rights to property, no rights to free speech. I mean, look at what's going on in our own country. Never before did we think that a past president would be arrested, no less tried, for cases that the legal world is looking at saying, there's nothing to this.
Well, and what's fascinating to me about this, Mark, is on one hand, we have the government along with the deep state media literally saying, hey, there's no election integrity issues at all. You guys are off your rock, crazy conspiracy theories, bad losers, just no good for nothing. White supremacists, whatever other labels they throw. Okay. And then we basically have people literally testifying and providing documentation in Arizona saying, look, the whole state, the Phoenix, yeah, Mesa, Arizona area, literally controlled by the cartels.
Yeah.
The documentation's there and nothing happens. If that doesn't tell a story in modern day history that jettisons conspiracy theory, turns it into fact, I don't know what does, Mark.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of things there to unpack. One is the election fraud that occurred. We have ample evidence that this was not by accident. This was not happenstance. This was intentional. And frankly, the people who are behind it are criminals. Bill Gates, county supervisor, Clint Hickman, county supervisor, Jack Sellers, county supervisor, Stephen Richer, county recorder. There are the people of Arizona are beyond angry with this guy. He portrayed himself as a solid conservative Republican, dedicated to the rule of law, dedicated to transparent elections, election security and integrity. The moment that joker got into office, he revealed that he is a Trump hater. He hates everything that is Make America Great Again, which, you know, I really don't understand the whole I hate MAGA thing. Because if you hate people who want to put America first, what's up with your self-loathing? I don't get that. But then we've got the other side of the equation, and that is the people who have accepted money and bribes and all that. I think they're feeling a little heat right now, because there are some investigations underway quietly in the background looking into how did they receive money from the Sinaloa cartels. And I mean, the numbers are starting to add up with the research that we're doing. And we're talking about billions of dollars that are run through major banks. They've got to know where that money's coming from, just because the evidence that we've got shows that, you know, when property's worth $125,000 are sold in a package for billions, that's classic money laundering. And now it's a case of, we don't have a righteous attorney general in Arizona. Now, I'm hoping that we are able to replace Chris Mays with Abe Hamadeh. Abe is dedicated to prosecuting, you know, criminal activity like this, but that's not even a sure thing. So, as I said in the opening, we at every level in government and in every branch of government, we have the pervasive distribution of Sinaloa cartel money. Now, make no mistake about it, Sinaloa cartel is a creature of the CIA. Everybody's admitted that, acknowledged it. This is the deep state working
against
the
government. The government deep state admits it by saying, hey, at least we can control this cartel. If we don't do that and shut down other cartels, we'll lose control of the whole thing, which is a lie, yeah. But that's how they kind of couch that dishonesty, ladies and gentlemen. Look, what we're talking about is goefi.org. What is that, you might ask? Election Fairness Institute. And the whole goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to advance transparent, secure, and fair elections, ladies and gentlemen. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization that does its very best to get to the bottom of transparency and accountability. Election rigging cover-up is being exposed. We're talking to we're talking to Mark Fincham about this, ladies and gentlemen. To learn more, goefi.org. Him, along with Heather Hobbs and others, have got this incredible website dedicated to exposing election integrity issues. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. We'll talk more in seconds on your radio.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation. Here is Right, and I'm on the radio, your radio, with Sam Bushman and Mark Fincham, who is out of Arizona, telling us what is a disastrous condition they're having in Arizona right now. But, you know, it's interesting. Last hour, I kind of ended the hour talking about Ephesians chapter 6, the spiritual wickedness in high places that was predicted would exist in our day. And Mark's been telling us about drug cartels and their involvement in Arizona politics. And to me, I mean, I kind of keep track of a lot of news sources, And it seems like the news sources are completely complicit in this effort to completely undermine the free and fair and honest elections. And with their, I guess you could call it a propaganda effort,
We could look back at Joseph Goebbels, the chief Nazi propaganda minister back in Hitler's day, and a rough translation of what he said was, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually begin to believe it or come to believe it. And so that's kind of what I perceive the media is doing in Arizona. But, Mark, you bring up something very interesting. If, in fact, the drug cartels have got a big stake in the elections in Arizona, and I think it's pretty well universal knowledge that the people in high places in Mexico are bought and paid for by the cartels, and that's been that way for generations, literally. I mean, the dishonesty in the Mexican politics is that way. But you know what? We've had open borders for so long, and the encroachment has been so bad. I mean, the beachhead was long ago established in the United States. And I'm wondering, Mark, if what you're seeing in Arizona is not just border creep, if you will, and what was in Mexico for so many generations is now the future of America. And they just moved the borderline,
if you will. And before we get to Mark on this, to illustrate your point, Dr. Bradley, there's a headline right now that says this: Border Patrol continues catching previously convicted, previously deported sex offenders who illegally entered the United States. The Blaze with this article. But I bring this up because it illustrates exactly what you're talking about. And Donald Trump said this back in the day, and they mocked him for it. But we have ample evidence. They're not only drug cartels, but they are sex trafficking cartels as well, Mark. So entertain Dr. Bradley's question, but that little kind of proof in the pudding on the cake to make the point, sir.
Well, I think that what we're facing is fifth-generation warfare. In fact, there's a great book that's been published by General Flynn and a gentleman by the name of Boone Cutler. It's The Citizen's Guide to Fifth-Generation Warfare, a response. And it's the classic use, you brought up Joseph Goebbels, it's the classic use of propaganda. And, I mean, why would we expect the news media to act outside of what they were taught in university? This has been a very strategic takeover of the American society. In fact, you'll recall Nikita Khrushchev said, we will take over your country and never fire a shot. That was back in, I think, 1954. So we are now, it's finally come full to fruition. And the use of fifth generation warfare, the psychological operation that is conditioning people for a response, think masks, the jab, that's the most recent examples, but it's the shaming and the separation of people and the division of people groups. I mean, they've been at this for a long time. And now we see things like the farce that was the January 6th thing. That wasn't an insurrection. I mean, that argument doesn't even bring to mind an assault on the Capitol. You got 500 people maybe that are committing malicious destruction of property. It was a political theater event, especially when we see that there were magnetically locked doors that were opened and people were ushered in by security. It was political theater, but it was designed. It was the Psy Act that was the manifestation of the Psy Op, the psychological operation. And that was all manufactured for a target audience, the American people. See, all these people are bad. When in reality, you have the Uniparty that had to engage in a coup against a sitting president and against the people of the United States and their Constitution. What happened on the well of the Senate on January 6th was an embarrassment, and quite frankly, it was the takeover, the final coup de grace, if you will, the takeover of the American government. We do not have a legitimately seated government to this day because of what they did on January 6th. Just look at the Constitution. It lays out you must have a quorum. It doesn't say, well, we can declare an emergency and just bypass quorum. No, 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 no. They had to have an event that interfered with the calling of a quorum. That's what this was about. But that's one small example of what we're fighting. It's fifth generation warfare. And it is the tool that the Uniparty, this is no longer Republican Democrat, by the way, It is a collection of individuals who have seized power, and they're not planning on giving it up, no matter what
and
happens.
And these deep staters are using the Hegelian dialectic of the left-right dishonest paradigm of Republican Democrats to point the finger at each other and make you believe that's the war, when that's not the deal at all. Fifth-generation
exactly
warfare, 5GW, ladies and gentlemen, really is warfare that's conducted primarily through non-kinetic military action, such as social engineering, misinformation, cyber attacks, along mm-hmm. with emerging technologies, things like artificial intelligence, manipulation of the media, autonomous systems, and more. Okay, they're literally playing this game with us, pretending we're not at war, pretending that you and I are crazy for even bringing it up. They're in bed with the CCP on this. It's the deep state. It's a global, literal takeover, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that's, you know, I think that the evidence is pretty strong in what's being said here. But what I'm wondering about, if Mark can say, okay, guys, yeah, we do have the drug cartels. They've bought and paid for the Arizona win. It's been an encroachment to the southern border of Utah, if you will, by those cartels and the illegals and everything like that. What's going to happen? I mean, is there a chance that all of these legal actions that are being taken, these efforts that are still being, you know, in the courts, making their way through, all the evidence that's mounting that, yes, indeed, there was drug money involved in laundering of money that went into campaigns and all these kind of things. What's going to happen, Mark? Is Arizona just going to capitulate and it'll be the northern border of Mexico at the southern border of Utah? I mean, what's
not as long as I'm able. Not as long as I'm able to take a breath.
Okay, so
see, I think one of the things that the Uniparty and the cartels didn't take into account is guys like me. I'm not going to sit down and shut up. I'm going to continue to dig like a badger. We're going to continue to look at money laundering. We're going to pursue grand juries. We're going to out the people who have received those contributions, if you will. And I pray that godly men and women would step up and run for political office. The fact that they run, even though the election is rigged, the fact that they run and they call this out is important. Now, are we going to get redress in the courts? I don't know. We've got a number of court cases going. If you want me to give you a kind of a briefing on where those stand right now.
I do. Before you do that, I really want to focus on this, though. Look, we're talking about fifth generation warfare, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that the American people just aren't really acclimated to, but it's been going on for a while now, and Americans are starting to wake up and realize what the stakes are. Some people call it fifth generation warfare. Some people call it InfoWars, as some are calling it. But ladies and gentlemen, think about this for a minute. I want to kind of be very clear. I had James Edwards on the radio with me yesterday, and he was saying this. You know what? You can't vote your way out of it, and you can't legislate your way out of it. They're literally shutting down at the court level anything to do with proper legislation, anything to do with us dealing with it at the ballot box, etc. Then I made this statement. You cannot comply your way out of tyranny either, folks. Look, our desire to be compliant is now coming back to bite us, because they're literally in a fifth generation hot war, and we're going, hey, you think you can talk to your congressman and put together a petition? And I appreciate that peaceful agenda on our part, but the naivete is just beyond imagination. So answer that really quick, Mark. Sorry about that, Mark. And then we'll come back and talk about the court cases you're working on.
Well, I think the battle space for fifth generation warfare is the mind. We have been conditioned, both in our faith relationship, that, you know, God ordains governments. And to your point, we've kind of gotten to that space where we're invested in being compliant. The courts now, I believe, have so much power that they negate what the legislature has directed them to do.
All right, let's talk about it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Fincham with us. Serious, serious conversation about election rigging. GoEFI.org.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Israel's military has launched air attacks on southern Lebanon and the Gaza Strip following a volley of reported rocket attacks on their country. Today's strikes in southern Lebanon came a day after militants fired nearly three dozen rockets from there at Israel, wounding two people and causing property damage. The Israeli military says it targeted installations of Hamas, the Palestinian militant group, in southern Lebanon. The Fed's plan of cooling the economy to fight inflation is starting to work. The Labor Department announced this morning U.S. hiring slowed down in March as employers added 236,000 jobs last month, lower than expected. Also, the unemployment rate fell to 3.5%. Steve Forbes on Fox News this morning chimes in.
The actual decline, because they do seasonal adjustments after holidays, a lot of people get laid off, was down 2.5 million. And so you have the distortions of the COVID and the lockdowns. So I don't think you're going to get a real feel on what's happening in the jobs front until springtime when these things work themselves out. Okay. So not a bad report, but you see these other indicators out there, something's going to happen. And because of the distortions of the lockdowns, what patterns of the past don't hold now. You'd never have 3.5% unemployment and an economy slowing down.
The Internal Revenue Service is hiring a lot more help.
On Thursday, the IRS said it will add up to nearly 30,000 new staffers and put new technology to work over the next 2 years. The additions are part of an $80 billion investment plan to improve tax enforcement and customer service. More than 8,000 of those new hires will be enforcement staff. The tax agency will continue beefing up customer service after adding 5,000 new taxpayer services staff to answer phones, reopen taxpayer assistance centers, and process tax returns. I'm Skip Kelly.
Today is Good Friday, and for many, an intensely personal day of prayer and devotion. This is USA News.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Fincham, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. Mark Fincham doing a phenomenal job. Go EFI.org to learn more about their incredible efforts for election integrity issues. I mentioned right before the pause, you know, the problem is you can't vote your way out of this because they've ruined the elections. You can't legislate your way out of it because the court just simply shuts down every legislative reality. Plus, when you have criminals in the deep state everywhere, legislation doesn't seem to go anywhere anyway. They don't listen to the American people. You can't even get a hold of your congressman and talk to him face to face if you try to prove the point. Senators are even more difficult to get a hold of. But I was saying that, look, you know what, you can't deal with this tyranny really either. I mean, the fact is, compliance, the more we comply, the more tyrannical it gets. And then we think, well, let's just file a petition or let's just write an article or, you know what, they're in fifth generation warfare and we're running around peacefully going, please stop this. Mark, this is not only a spiritual warfare thing, but Americans need to wake up to say, we're going to have to literally, deal with this in a hardcore way, or we're just going to get ran over, sir.
Well, that's true. And it's what's necessary is for God's people to start running for school board offices. I mean, and if you want to use the Democrat Republican thing, even registered Democrat voters are now saying, what has happened to my country? We're talking about old school Democrats who, by the way, if they're a Kennedy Democrat today, they're a Republican. So, I mean, there's things going on in the background that in order to fight this fifth generation warfare stuff, people have got to understand their neighbor is not their enemy. The enemy is the person who is telling you that you should be ashamed of whatever, who's going to call you a white supremacist or going to call you a bigot or a homophobe or a this or a that. Every time that comes out, we have got to answer it and say, you're a liar. Away from me, Satan. You're a liar. Because in doing that, you put the deep state on notice. We're not buying your crap anymore. So when it comes to some of the things that are the fraud vectors, if you will, the tactics they're employing to steal elections, and that's what happened in this last election. We've got statistical evidence. We've got testimony. I mean, you know, if we go back and we revisit the polling leading up to the election, Trafalgar had me, I think, 6 weeks out from the election, winning by 7 points. CNN, 10 days before the election, had me winning by 3 points. On the day of the election, I allegedly lose by a point. And then the most recent poll done by Rasmussen, which was, it's probably about a month old now, it's called an extended exit poll. They reached out, and one of the qualifiers you had to have voted in the last election. And in the sample that they ran, you'll never guess, what was the percentage that I won by? 3%. People said, I voted for this individual or that individual, and I won by 3%. So the numbers aren't lying. The fraud vectors that they used, it's just recently come to light that Runbeck, the company that was hired by Maricopa County, which, by the way, Maricopa County is like 63% of the entire state's vote, so it's really its own state within the state. A company by the name of Runbeck, which has become a national name lately, employed a software that is uncertified, uninspected, and it uses artificial intelligence, allegedly, to read signatures on the affidavit envelopes for mail-in ballots. Well, they use this, and now we've had a citizens group that has gone through a sampling of those ballot envelopes, a 15% error rate. Well, you put a 15% error rate across nearly, I don't know, 1,000,002 of the ballots that came in, that's a big number. And because 80% of Arizona's election is by mail, we've got to get a handle on legitimate signatures on ballot envelopes that come in. Now, about the only way that we're going to solve that is to get rid of mail-in ballots or to go to a true absentee system.
You got to get rid of mail-in ballots. You got to go to single-day, same-day VIP voting in-person scenarios. You got to get rid of the machines and move to paper ballots. Unless you take these fundamental steps, our goose is cooked, Dr. Bradley.
That's right.
So you know, go ahead, Mark. You're on a roll here.
Yeah, you touched on the key features of how do we take back our elections. Number one, we've proven that the black box ballot tabulation equipment is unreliable, that it can be used to cheat. On election day, here's another fraud vector. During the entire...
I want to correct you on one thing, though. When we say it's unreliable, I disagree. It's absolutely reliable for the intended purpose, sir.
Okay, touche. But it's unreliable.
But I get your point, and I agree.
For the purpose of having a transparent and secure election, it's wholly inadequate. Maybe that's a better word to use.
I agree. So I just want to make the point, folks, that it's working very perfectly to literally Shanghai elections. There's no doubt about it. And the proof is in the pudding everywhere for years.
That is true. That is true. But be that as it may, the early voting period where we had 20-inch ballot images flawlessly operated. Now, that's predominantly Democrats voting. There's a few Republicans, not many. Most Republicans believe in going to the polls on election day. So what happens on election day? There's a 19-inch ballot, not an image, not a 20-inch ballot image. Those are rejected and put into drawer number 3. Now, some would say, oh, it was an innocent mistake. No, we have testimony from an expert who used to print ballots for Maricopa County. He says there's only two ways this could have happened. One is the image was created by staff internally, saved and deployed on election day on purpose. The other is that there was external intrusion and the ballot image was inserted into the system by a nefarious actor on the outside. Either way, and by the way, we now know that Dominion lied. those machines are open to hacking. They are open to the internet. They are open to Wi-Fi. So all of that is, that's just BS. Why would they do that? Well, because it makes it very easy. If the ballot is rejected in Arizona, it goes into box three. So if you have all of these 19-inch ballots going into box three that are predominantly Republican, you know exactly what ballots to replace with the paper ballots that you want to use in order to throw the election. It's harvesting ballots at the ballot box. That's just one of the fraud vectors. Now, of course, we've got voter rolls that are so polluted. We have people voting that don't exist. And therein lies the work of the Uniparty. It's the Democrat Party and certain Republicans working together. Now, we also know...
And what surprises me about this, too, Mark, is on one hand, this is a serious issue. Kevin McCarthy seems to be saying nothing about it. He's like, yeah, we got a few bad Democrats off the committee. We're doing great. Fund us. Give me donations. He's not even dealing with the real issues in America at all, sir.
That's right. In fact, you know, right now we're looking at the dollar imploding. How about you guys worry about that as opposed to elections? So at the end of the day, we've got... testimony in my case, we have filed a motion for reconsideration because my case was dismissed. Interestingly enough, during our hearing, the judge spoke for 42 minutes out of our hour as though she were advocating for Fontes and Hobbs. We got 12 minutes, 18 minutes to present our case, so we didn't even get all of our evidence in. Then she wants to hit us with sanctions. Probably about $250,000 in sanctions because I had the temerity to stand up and say, hold on a second. This election is a fraud. And here is our proof. Here's our testimony. Here's our evidence. So she just.
And then what they like to do, Mark, is they like to run around and say, well, there's these allegations of fraud have been thoroughly debunked because no case has really found evidence of fraud. The problem is they reject all these cases. They literally go after us, sanctions, look at Sidney Powell and others. They go after everybody, but they never deal with the merits of the case or the evidence that we try to present to them. We never even get there. That's all by design, proving the point.
Well, and that's why we have filed a motion for reconsideration, partly because she wanted to hit us with sanctions, but I think she realized that she doesn't have the authority to issue sanctions based upon contest law in the state of Arizona. So she comes out with a restatement of her dismissal, and she claims that we brought the case in bad faith. Well, all right, slow down a second. If you didn't let us present our testimony, how do you know that we brought a case in bad faith? You don't get it both ways. So she essentially opened the door for us to introduce even more evidence that we were bringing the case in good faith, that we're claiming that because of the signature verification problem, because of the lack of chain of custody, which is very specific in Arizona law, it was ignored by Brownback and by Maricopa County. All of that brings us to the place where we have good faith. All that brings us to the place where we have a good faith case, and there are hundreds of thousands of ballots that are now in question.
The other issue that I have about this is, how do you say in good faith, it wasn't a good faith effort here or whatever. How do you say that? Isn't that just like the thought police saying, oh yeah, it's a hate crime you filed there, or, you know, bad faith? How do we determine the intent of someone? If Mark and others have evidence of fraud, isn't the discussion evidence of fraud? Not his opinion, your opinion, my opinion. This is a preemptive strike by the judge to make sure that the evidence is never dealt with in a way that literally becomes kind of a, we're going to pretend there's a thought crime, or we're going to determine your intent ahead of time. This is psychotic, Dr. Bradley. The founders understood ways we can remedy this, though, right?
Well, indeed they did. But, there's a whole bunch of ointed awfuls that we've got to deal with. And a lot of times people get to the point, oh, I can't do it. I throw up my hands. I walk away. And we're just going to wait for the end of the world. And I guess
I'm too redneck,
one
stupid for that. That ain't happening on my watch, sir.
But here's the deal. I believe that God is still in charge of things. But I believe that we have a responsibility for our own, through our own exercise of our choice, our agency, and that we have got to be engaged in this. And Mark's pursuing this in the way he best can, and I'm sure he's got other ways he hasn't had a chance to explain yet. But everybody needs to take the responsibility to take this on in the way that they can. And you know, John Quincy Adams, he signed his letters. He was an abolitionist against slavery. Slavery seemed like an impossible thing to get rid of, and it was a kind of a, it was embedded in a lot of cultures. Well, he always signed his letters, "The duty is ours, the results are God's." And so we have a duty to perform. We cannot stand idly by. We as a people, we the people, ultimately have responsibility for our governance, and we're not worthy of much governance right now that's worthy because of the way we've abandoned our responsibility. But every one of us, I mean, first we've got to get right with God. Second, we've got to come to understand the founding principles of the nation. Third, we got to get involved with it. And fourth, we got to help others get involved. But Mark mentioned something about running good people, and he talks about some of these boards and stuff like that you can get on. Not everybody runs for president, and that's probably not the place it's going to get fixed anyway. It's going to be more at a grassroots level. But here's something that Noah Webster said. I've quoted it on your show before, Sam, that I think we've got to ingest it, digest it, and apply it. He said, "God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. The preservation of a Republican government," again, that has nothing to do with a party. It has to do with our form of government. It's a representative form of government, and it's a constitutional republic. Anyway, going on. "Preservation of a Republican government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made not for the public good so much as for selfish or local purposes. Corrupt or incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws. The public revenues will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizens will be violated or disregarded." That's his statement. That's where we are in America today. We are not choosing rulers that are going to rule over us in the fear of God. And all of these things with the theft that's going on in the election system, the money laundering, all of it needs to be brought to the light of day. It needs to be exposed. But none of us can afford to fold up our tent, pack it up, and go home and leave it in the hands of those that are least worthy to sit in the office. And that's kind of where
amen
we are
to that. Amen so, to that. Now, there are people like Mark Finchem, though, trying to do a great job. And Mark Finchem basically files a motion, ladies and gentlemen, to reconsider new evidence after physical inspection by ballot printing expert confirms an intentional change was made to the printers affecting the day of election ballots in Maricopa County, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. Now, thegatewaypundit.com has an article that highlights this in great detail if you want to go check that out. More evidence coming out. What do you expect is going to happen here, though, Mark? Are they just going to simply, hey, the cartels are in bed with the judges, and therefore, hey, there's no hope?
Well, there's a couple things that are going to happen. One, motion to reconsider. The event that has happened there is we were able to introduce new evidence. It's a part of the record now. We expect the judge to double down, and we're prepared. We've already prepared our appeal. We're waiting to see whether or not Judge Julian reverses the sanctions. That's number one, or disallows sanctions. Now, under Arizona law, she's not permitted to put sanctions on us because that's the reason for having contest law, to have a disagreement resolved in court, period. If she does not reverse herself, we will be going to the appellate court. Once again, we'll have more evidence that we can bring in. And this mountain of evidence is building. The people now know this. 71% of the people in the United States and in Arizona know that this election was a fraud. They know that the people behind it are frauds. They're criminals. If we don't get our satisfactory result in the appellate court, we're raising money right now to go to the Supreme Court, the Arizona State Supreme Court. And Carrie Lake is there right now. The Supreme Court ordered the trial judge to give her access to the ballot envelopes for inspection and to verify signatures. It's interesting, the response from Maricopa County's supervisors, quote, "We don't think it's in the best interests of the state to inspect these ballot signatures," end quote. So it's in the best interest of the state to deny transparency. It's in the best interest of the state to deny the ability to resolve this matter to the satisfaction of the people. So we've got that case. We've also got, Carrie and I filed a case back in April of last year to prohibit the use of black box ballot tabulation equipment, namely Dominion and ES&S, so that we can have paper ballots hand counting on the day of the election and count where cast. That's another important piece. You need to count those ballots and those votes before anything moves off site from the precinct level, because otherwise the chain of custody has another link.
Let me stop you there, Mark, because I have a problem. Why do we need to move anything off site, period, into paragraph? Why don't we just have total numbers that are literally documented, that are certified by a notary, that are documented by witnesses, you know, et cetera. And then why don't we just send numbers, totals into them? We don't need to send anything off-site at all.
Well, actually, so what we're talking about is counting where cast means you count the ballots where they're cast at the precinct level, okay? And right. And I agree with you. You sign off with a notary. You have witnesses. But it is the responsibility of the county to maintain the record, which means those ballots, once they've been counted and sealed into a tamper-proof box, need to be taken to whatever in Arizona, it's the county treasurer who is supposed to have safekeeping of those. Because under federal law, 52 CFR 20701, we're required to hold those election records for 22 months.
And by the way, we need to lengthen that number big time, by the way. It's the reason they have it as 22 months right now is because then they can commit fraud and the previous election is gone, so we don't have any comparisons. What we need to do is make that number longer for comparison purposes. But I digress. My point is we don't need to give anything except for totals to them that then we can certify in any record that's upstream, or if you want to call it downstream from that, fine. But all we need to give them is the numbers, certified numbers, and nothing more, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
All right. I'm afraid they're going to run us out of money, though, with all these lawsuits. Are they just going to run us all out of money?
Well, that's the tactic. I mean, you know, the Uniparty, my own primary, for example, we raised $1.6 million to prosecute the entire election season, so both the primary and the general. The Uniparty put up a Democrat registered as a Republican with $1.6 million and made me spend every penny. Well, almost down to $10,000 on a primary. We have never spent that kind of money in a primary. So you take the $1.6 million for him, the $1.6 million for me, another $700,000 for the other two candidates. That's the most expensive primary in the history of the state of Arizona. And it left me with none but $10,000 to prosecute the general election. Now, we raised an additional $500,000 for that. But Adrian Fontes had $7 million come in and was able to just flood the zone with propaganda.
Backed by the deep state on the national level. They've got endless cash to make that happen is the problem. I'm afraid we're going to end up in a civil war over this.
I pray not. But the very people who are perverting the system, they're going to have to live with the government they're creating. And as Stalin said, the useful idiots will take care of themselves. In other words, they will put bad actors in power, and then they'll fight amongst themselves. And that's where you talk about the potential for civil war. I don't think they're going to let it get to that. I really don't. I think the American people, I'd call your attention to, I think it was 1946, the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. It's where you had a bunch of World War II vets that came home, and you had a corrupt sheriff, a corrupt election.
Yeah, by the way, we cover this in our movie on CSPOA.org, by the way, History of Election Fraud Integrity Issues.
Yeah.
Good point. Great Go ahead. Story. Continue.
It's a great story. It's where the people said, enough is enough. We know you're a fraud. We are going to take our election system back. Now, fast forward to today, interestingly enough, Democrat Sheriff Paul Penzone deployed snipers on the roofs of the buildings around the Maricopa County Election Center. Think about that.
A disgrace in the freest nation, historically speaking, in the world. What a disgrace.
Think about that.
But that's why I say, they're going to create a war. What I mean by that is not just fifth generation warfare stuff. I'm talking about they're going to take it hot if they're forced to over the economy. In other words, if we expose and get honest money back in place, or if we really turn around this nation, I'm afraid they will go to war to avert losing power, Dr. Bradley.
Again, I agree with Mark's statement that we pray not. I mean, there will be things happening
that people
cannot imagine. But that, I think if it comes to the point that they realize that we the people, I mean, right now, and I've said this all for the last 3 years ago, we can starve out the COVID cowards, for example, is what I used it so often, because we outnumber them by so much. Now, there's a lot of brain damage done by oxygen deprivation over the last 3 years, but I really believe they that be with us are more than they that be with them, according again out of the Old Testament. And I think that if they come to realize, and it's just like that Athens thing. By the way, there's a YouTube out that you could watch. Go look it up. It depicts what happened and in that thing after World War II. But you know what? This kind of nonsense has been with us. I mean, in 1948, I mean, the Athens thing was 46. In 48, LBJ stole the Senate race in Texas. That's so well validated, and it changed all of history. Look what ended up happening. His iron fist stuff in the Senate, his election with Kennedy, because Kennedy couldn't lose without the electoral, I mean, couldn't win without the electoral votes in Texas. And then he becomes president, and look what happens in Vietnam. We the people have got to stand up and say, no, we will not allow this to happen. And unless and until we get engaged, it's going to continue to happen. And so I think we can avert a civil war. And they would love to have a civil war, by the way, because they could put the big hammer on our heads. But we can avert a civil war if the people will engage and participate and take back their country based upon the Americanist principles that founded it. We have a right to alter or abolish our government. That was established constitutionally. Our processes were put in place, and we can do this. But we've got to start doing it. A lot of people say, oh, no, I'm going to it's just too hard a deal to do that, so I'm going to go to war. You haven't been in war. You don't know how hard it's
going to be. Yeah, that's way harder. There's a better plan, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stick to the God, family, country plan. Let's stick to the rule of law and hold the moral high ground. Mark Fincham, we're about out of time. Go EFI.org to look at their incredible work in Arizona and spreading across the country to deal with election integrity issues. Final thoughts, Mark?
War is the result of failed diplomacy. And I'm calling on pastors. Exodus 18:21, choose from among you godly men, disinterested in personal gain, to lead the thousands, the hundreds, the fifties, and the tens. That right there tells pastors you cannot shirk your duty to advise your congregation. Get your butts out of the chairs and get out onto the streets. Get into the political process. See to it that you go to school board meetings, county commission meetings. That's where change happens.
Amen to that. Mark Fincham, my friend, we'll have you back soon. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
CSPOA has incredible training opportunities in Texas. If they're private events, but you can be invited, let us know. Give us a call. We'll work on it. CSPOA.org for more on that. We're going to be partnering with, in my opinion, two incredible patriots, Weston Martinez and Mark Fincham, and these projects. They're incredible. To learn more, ladies and gentlemen, go EFI.org. For Dr. Scott Bradley, FreedomsRisingSun.com and Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net, God save the Republic.